Welcome to the First Draft Club, a podcast to help you write your book with joy, clarity, and maybe a few coffee stains. I'm Mary Atkins. You can find my three novels, When You Read This, Privilege, and Palm Beach, at your favorite bookstore. Each episode is short. We get in and we get out, so you can get back to your life and your writing. A question I hear a lot, and I understand why, is what genre am I writing? I don't know what I'm writing. Now, this tends to come up for people much more often if they're working on the kind of general fiction like what I write. In other words, it's not something really specific in terms of genre, like a thriller or a mystery or romance or fantasy. Like, those people seem to know what they're writing. But for the rest of us, and honestly, even for people who are writing in those specific genres, it can be confusing to know, you know, whether what you're writing is literary, whether it's commercial, and whether it's a term that I wasn't even familiar with until I started writing novels, which is upmarket. So in today's episode, I want to talk about these categories. What makes a novel count as literary fiction? How is that different from upmarket fiction? What even is upmarket fiction? are literary and upmarket somehow quote unquote better than commercial fiction? And what makes them different? So today I want to talk about how I understand these categories and spoiler alert, why I think upmarket is a really good sweet spot target for you as a novelist. All right, so for a long time, I didn't quite understand what literary fiction meant. It seemed like this big sort of scary term that I was supposed to aspire to as a writer because I was aware that it was the kind of fiction that won awards, that got reviewed in prestigious publications, that made you seem really smart. It seemed to be the kind of fiction that we would read in college classes. And so, of course, I wanted to write it. Well, I shouldn't say of course, but because I was status seeking, naturally I wanted to write it. The only problem was that when I actually read books categorized as literary fiction, not all the time, but often, I would finish them feeling underwhelmed. And it's not that I thought they were bad, but they just weren't my favorite books. Like, the experience I had while reading was not the experience that I would call like my best or even among my best reading experiences. And I also failed to understand or struggled to understand why literary fiction books would be considered more impressive than more plot-driven books. I couldn't quite get my head around the logic of that. It seemed to me that plot was a pretty essential piece of storytelling and one that in many ways was the hardest part of writing for me. Plot has always been one of my biggest challenges. And so I think that that's another reason it was especially confusing to me why a book with a really solid plot would be considered somehow, you know, less worthy of the kind of hallmarks of prestige that we have in our culture for fiction, like awards and reviews. It's like, why is the thing that's toughest for me to write the thing that's considered just sort of easy? Okay. And then finally, I also couldn't help but wonder why books even needed to be categorized as either literary or commercial. Like, why couldn't a book have both a great plot and great character development and prose? Because my favorite books had both. Enter upmarket fiction. Fiction that has both commercial and literary elements. All right. So before I dive into these categories, I first need you to understand that genres are marketing categories. These are categories that exist to sell your book. This is also not a science. Your book's genre, and what you're going to learn is that it can be multiple genres. Your book's genre is an art, and it is a marketing art. Jodi Picoult's books, for example. You may have heard of Jodi Picoult. She's extremely prolific and extremely successful and well-known author. Her books are categorized as women's fiction. Why? Because that's how booksellers sell Jodi Picoult's books. Here's a quote I really like to share from her about her novel, The Storyteller. About The Storyteller, she says, "I've heard The Storyteller described as chick lit, which is hilarious to me. There's nothing wrong at all with chick lit, but it tends to be lighthearted and comedic, and there's nothing in my novel that qualifies. It's about the Holocaust, for God's sake, and that's not exactly a fluffy topic." Okay, so because genres are marketing categories, books can be and often are categorized as more than one thing. A book can be literary fiction and a mystery, or it can be a literary fiction mystery that's also commercial. It can be sci-fi that's also categorized as women's fiction. My books tend to be classified as contemporary fiction or upmarket fiction. And again, more on that term upmarket in a moment. But also, my books are sometimes categorized as women's fiction, really for the mere fact that I'm a woman author and my protagonists so far have been women. And this is basically what Jodi Picoult was saying in that quote. It's a marketing category. And whenever you know, I just want you to keep going back to that we're talking about categories that exist in order to sell books. All right, so what do these even mean? What is the difference between literary and commercial fiction? Let's start there. When a book is categorized as commercial fiction, that just means that the publisher thinks it's possible for the book to sell a lot of copies because it has a strong plot, a plot that keeps people turning pages. And that tends to be a hallmark of very high sale numbers. It can also be character-driven. It can have prose that in itself feels pleasurable to read, you know, because it's original or because it has a sparse style or unique details or other features that make the writing itself feel special in some way. But to be called commercial essentially means it has a good plot. Okay, so there's your very basic definition of commercial fiction. Commercial fiction means it has a good plot. Now, if a book is described as literary, it tends to have complex characters that do not follow tropes. Tropes are not a bad thing. They're actually very prevalent in certain genres, but they're not really a literary fiction thing. Literary fiction also tends to contain prose that's notable for its, like I just said a moment ago, its originality, its uniqueness. There's something about the writing that makes it feel special. It's the kind of book that the author doesn't mind if you have to pause because you're relishing the language or really thinking about a turn of phrase. If you set down the book for that reason, that's not a bad thing. That can even be something the author wants you to do. Whereas if it were, say, a commercial thriller, the author might be primarily wanting you to turn the pages as quickly as possible, read it in a setting, like you can't put it down. So very different intentions on the part of the author. If you are thinking that a good plot and original thought-provoking prose aren't mutually exclusive, you're right. They are not. And this is where upmarket comes in. If a book is literary and commercial, it's often called upmarket. And that means it checks boxes, if not all the boxes, at least some of them, of both literary and commercial. This brings me to why I think upmarket is the sweet spot of fiction. When I'm teaching, I tend to steer people in the direction of upmarket. Now, this isn't something that I spell out for them, but it's embedded in the techniques that I'm teaching. I'm teaching techniques to help people write good plot, and I'm also teaching them techniques to write strong prose that doesn't rely on tropes Unless they want it to. Now there's definitely room. Like I said, we sometimes joke in our community that we're going to make t-shirts that say pro trope, because tropes are not inherently bad. There are romance readers who read the romance for the tropes. They buy books for the tropes. Thriller readers, same thing. There are particular genres where the relationship between, or the agreement between the author and the reader, is that certain tropes will be observed. That's part of the appeal and part of the enjoyment. However, outside of those genres, if you are attempting to write something like upmarket fiction, you tend to want to complicate characters, to complicate plot lines, so that they feel at least like twists on the tropes, if not altogether more original than the tropes. So my suggestion for new novelists is that, unless you're aspiring to write a particular genre, in which case, go for it. You know, write the genre you want to read. Write the genre you like to read. But if you aren't and you're not sure what you're writing, I think a good default aspiration is upmarket fiction, because it has commercial appeal, but it also investigates character deeply enough and has sufficiently original prose to be considered literary. And when a book can check both of those boxes, it's the reason I'm calling it the sweet spot is that, and maybe this goes without saying, I don't need to spell it out, but it becomes enjoyable for readers on more than one level. And that's just one, cool. Like, if you're an author, like, why not write a book someone can enjoy on multiple levels? And two, it increases its appeal to the people that, you know, you're going to need on board to sell it, agents and publishers. So that's what I wanted to define for you today. I wanted to define upmarket fiction and just, you know, basically clarify the distinction between these categories for anyone who, you know, might have been a little bit confused, which would be understandable. I hope this was helpful. See you next week.
If you're still listening, I'm guessing that you are writing a book or want to write a book. And if so, I want to talk to you, because when I'm not writing myself, my mission in life is to help writers write their dream books. I love it. I live for it. Because before I published my novels, I had to figure out how to write one. And it wasn't easy. None of the writing classes I had taken actually showed me how to write a novel. It wasn't until I had a newborn baby and only a couple of hours a day to write that I actually came up with a process that worked. I wrote my entire novel during my 8-week maternity leave, which sounds crazy, but it's true. And now I teach that process in my program, The Book Incubator, and it's worked for dozens of other writers. So if you're curious to know more and to see if this program might be the right fit for you, I have a free video walking you through my process, both for writing a book and for teaching how to write a book. And you can get it by going to thebookincubator.com and just telling me a little bit about yourself and the kind of support that you're looking for, your book idea. So just go to thebookincubator.com, fill out the short form, and you will hear from me within 72 hours. Happy writing. Thanks for listening, and see you next time.